Well, we're still talking about the doctrine of Christ's resurrection. If you don't have your handout from last week, there are some extra handouts back there on the table where the announcements are at, the yellow sheet back there. Feel free to go back there and get one if you need one. But we're in Roman numeral 3. Last week we began looking at the most important doctrine, I believe, of Jesus Christ, and that's Christ's resurrection. And we saw the fact of Christ's resurrection and the importance of Christ's resurrection. And today I believe the Lord would have us to see the manner of Christ's resurrection, the manner of His resurrection. I want you to see that His resurrection was a miraculous resurrection. In other words, God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead by the working of the strength of His might. When you see Christ arisen from the grave, you're seeing a miracle of God. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, where we'll begin at. Ephesians 1 and verse number 19 and 20. Says here, Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Now, he's talking about here the power that Christ works in us with regard to our salvation, and that everything to do with our salvation. You know, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have new life, and we have the new man living within, and we know that salvation not only gives us spiritual life here, but it's also the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that gives us that eternal life, and that we can be assured of that we are going to arise out of the grave. That the grave is not the end. Amen. We all look forward to being ones that go up in the rapture. Amen. I mean, we'd like for that to happen, and we pray, even so come Lord Jesus, but we realize, even as we pray that might not be the Lord's will for us. We might see death. Some of us in here may very well see death this year. We don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We just know who holds tomorrow. But it was God who put forth the might. It was God who loosed the pains of death for our Savior. And Christ, we know, He laid down His life to the fullest extent. He died. He died. He was in the fullest sense dead when they took Him down from that cross. And it's not that He fainted on the cross, you probably heard the swoon theory, that He just fainted while He was there. And when He got put in the cold grave, then the coolness in there revived Him. And then he got enough strength to push the rock out of the way. And now, just a lot easier for me to believe that God had the power to raise Him from the dead and did so. But we know that He was in the fullest sense dead. In fact, with the testimony of the soldiers that came by to make sure He was dead, they knew He was dead even before the spear went into His side. But they did the spear. The spear was really a testimony to us. Okay? Had He survived the crucifixion and appeared to be dead on the cross, and He, when they put that spear in His side, and out comes blood and water, showing that the heart had really broken there. He was in the fullest sense dead. And so it took the strength of God's might to raise Him from the dead. But that ought not to be strange to us. I want you to just think about it. God can give life to what He wants to. In fact, when He created this world, you think about how many things that He gave life to. including man. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If he can take a clump of dirt, and that's what we are, just a whole clump of dirt. We're glorified dust, made glorious by His hands. He formed us, and then He breathed life into us. If He can do that, then He can take, when this starts going back to dust, He can take and change it in any way He wants to, and He can breathe life into it again, can He? He most certainly can. I want you to realize not only His resurrection was a miraculous resurrection, but this is very important. And when you understand how the writers, where they were dealing with folks back during this time that had the idea that, well, Jesus, you know, he had an appearance like He had a body, but He didn't really have a body. When He arose from the grave, He didn't really bodily come out of the grave. His spirit arose from the grave. No, He bodily came out of the grave. It's a bodily resurrection. After His resurrection, He ate and drank. He had hands and feet and flesh and bones, all the appearance of a man. Let's turn to a couple places here. I'll take you first to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Luke 24, I want to back up further than what I've got in your notes there. Let's back up to verse number 13, and this is where the Lord Jesus Christ came walking in, walking along the road of Emmaus, and we see in verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day, talking about two disciples of Christ, went to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And there was nothing unusual about what this person walking with them was doing. He was talking. He was walking just in the manner you would expect a person to walk. Amen. And in this manner that you would think a person should talk. Verse 18, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not His body. It's a bodily resurrection, okay? They went to the grave to anoint the body. And, you know, it was a custom that they would do. When they came, found not His body, they came saying that they had seen a vision which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. In other words, they found no body. There was nobody there, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What he's talking about, all that the prophets have spoken, they spoke of a bodily resurrection. It was prophesied that He would arise bodily. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And of course, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning Himself. And so we see Him manifested there. Look down in verse number 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, he arose bodily, and they saw his body, but we're going to talk about in a little bit, it was a glorified body. Body like what we're going to get. We're going to have a body just like his. But verse 32 says that they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And so, look down in verse number 36. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They thought it was a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And then he points them to his body. Look at verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Remember last Sunday night, the Apostle John said we have handled. They seen him, they heard him, and their hands had handled the word of life. And this was one of the times that they handled him. Not only during the time that he was here on the earth, but while he, you know, when he showed them his glorified body. Look back at verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Now, a spirit can't eat anything. A body can't. Look down at, I'll tell you what, let's go to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 from there. John 20 and verse number 24. And of course, this is the Christ appearing to the disciples. And the first time he appeared to them, you remember Thomas wasn't there. And whenever they told Thomas what was happening, this is what we see here. John 20, verse number 24. John 20, verse 24. Says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I guess he thought the other disciples were joking. Or they were putting him on for some reason. Or they were trying to pull a fast one on him. You know, he wasn't going to be a part of any conspiracy to try to make out like Christ was arisen when he wasn't arisen. But he was arisen. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. So Thomas is there this time. Then came Jesus. Notice, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, as the Lord Jesus Christ knew what Thomas had said, and what Thomas said he was going to do. Amen. That shows he's God. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We're blessed. We haven't seen the resurrected Christ except in the Scriptures, and we've believed. Amen. We believe he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And we believe he came out and showed himself alive for 40 days after that, and then ascended on high, and that's where he's at. and He's coming back again one day. He's alive. Amen? We believe that. And we're blessed in believing that. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 and verse number 39. Acts 10:39 says here, "And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged Him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead." So He's making it plain and clear. This was a bodily resurrection. He ate, you know, he ate and drank with them after He rose from the dead. So His resurrection was a miraculous resurrection. His resurrection was a bodily resurrection. And then we see His resurrection was a glorified resurrection. And I want us to see that His body was not subject to some of the limitations under which ordinary earthly bodies exist and act. I mean, we just saw there in John 20 and verse number 19 that, you know, they were... Here they were and behind closed doors. And then in verse number 26, He comes walking in. You know, the doors being shut, He comes walking in and He stood in the midst of them. How'd that happen? Glorified body. That's all I can tell you. It's a glorified body. That's God. God can do that. We saw in Luke 24 and verse 31, the same thing. There where we were there, and it talked about their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. The ones that He were walking with on the road to Emmaus. I mean, He's walking along with them 1 minute, and boom, He's gone the next. And so His body acts as a body when He wants it to, but He can transport. It's Star Trek, you know, beam me up, Scotty. No, you know, he wanted to be where he wanted to go, and he was there. Amen. Didn't have to take no beaming up to do it or anything like that. We see His body had been transformed into an incorruptible, glorious, mighty, spiritual, heavenly body that was not flesh and blood. Okay? Look at that again. His body had been transformed into an incorruptible. In other words, it's not going to die again. I mean, there's no corruption. You know, you want to take a shower or a bath. You know, the reason why we have to take showers and baths is because we continually corrupt. Yeah. Skin cells die. You got to wash the old skin cells also, or else you start smelling like death. You really do. It's a glorious body. I mean, what can you say about a body that can just walk through a wall? Or a body that can vanish out of sight? Wow. Right? Wow. Mighty, spiritual, but yet a body. Heavenly, it's a heavenly body that was not flesh and blood. Let's take a look at several different places here. Philippians chapter number 3, and then we're going to go back to our text on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. But let's take a look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says here, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's where He's coming from, amen. He's going to be coming back to this earth from heaven. Notice verse 21. "Who shall change our vile body." Why is our body vile? Because it's corrupted, amen. It's corrupted to the core. "And change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body." In other words, we're going to have a body like Him, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Like I said, not a problem for Jesus. Not a problem for God. Jesus is God. Not a problem. He took, like I said, He took that dust and made something glorious out of it to begin with. He can take what's left, even if it's just dust in the grave and bones in the grave, and He can reform it and make something glorious just like His glorious body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to take a look at the verse 35 through 50 here that deal with this matter. I'll turn to it in this one. I've got some more notes here that I might want. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, and look at verse number 35. So, but some men will say, "How are the dead raised up?" I mean, we inquiring minds want to know, right? Well, how's that going to happen? Wait a minute. That body's in a coffin. How's it going to get out of the coffin? It's under the ground, 6 feet under, with a big old heavy concrete lid on it. How's it going to get out? Some of them have been burned, and they're no longer, you know, they've been turned to ashes. How's that going to happen? Inquiring minds want to know. Right? Some men will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Well, when they come out of there, what kind of body are they going to have? And then he says in verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die." And it says, "And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may be chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies." And by the way, verse 39 tells us that there's differences in the types of creatures. They didn't go from one type of creature and evolve into another type of creatures. They're different kinds of life, different kinds of flesh. Verse 40, he says, "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory." Yeah? I mean, we take a look at, when I was growing up, I was interested in astronomy. Loved looking at pictures of the planets and the solar systems and different things that were out there, because it was glorious. And they were different. You know, Saturn doesn't look like Jupiter. They both have glorious features in their own way, don't they? And Earth is glorious, and all the other bodies up there are glorious. He says, verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption," and we know that all of us are corrupted, amen. And you know, when they put that body in the ground, we know. My dad died 21 years ago, and if you were to pull him up, he's not going to look the same that he did when we planted him in the ground. Just not going to. Okay, he's corrupted. And it's only corruption, but it's going to be raised in incorruption. Okay? When that body comes out of there and is changed by the Lord, it's going to be changed into an incorruptible body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So we see several different things there. It's going to be incorruptible. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be powerful. Verse 44, it was sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Now, you know, like I say, our finite minds have a difficult time understanding that. It was our natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. And I think that's what, it's a body, yes. But it's a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. When you talk about being able to walk through the doors, but yet he ate fish. Okay? Think about it. You know, it's a little bit beyond our ability to understand. But we understand it by faith, don't we? We just believe it. We believe that God's able. God's able to do what he's put in this book. Notice verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Remember, God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Okay, he arose out of the grave, and he's able to quicken us. He's the one that does quicken us. He makes us alive. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, when we were born the first time, that's what we got. We bore the image of our earthly fathers. He says that, you know, just like we bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, we're going to be like Christ. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not going to be a flesh and blood body. Again, it's a body, but it's not a natural body. It's a spiritual body, and it's not flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And he says here, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die in the Lord, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking about those that are alive. And by the way, that's one way we know that Paul was expecting the Lord to return in his day. We call it the rapture of the church, that we say that it is imminent. We're looking for the imminent return of the Lord. In other words, nothing stands in the way of the Lord returning. Well, Paul believed in that. And he was looking forward, and he said, you know, the dead, those that are in the grave, they're going to come out, they're going to be raised incorruptible, and we all of us that are alive, we're going to be changed. Now, he wound up going to the grave, and so he's going to be one of those that come out that will be raised incorruptible. But he says, you know, here's the important part, verse 53, whether you're dead or alive, okay, when Christ comes, whether you're dead or alive, you got to be changed. Period. Because flesh and blood can't enter into heaven. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Who did that? Who did the death swallowing up death in victory? Jesus did when he came out of the grave. Amen. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that based on that, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, you know, this is not the end. You know, death may come today, but that's not the end. Be absent from the body, present with the Lord. One day he's going to take and reunite the spirit with the body that's going to be going into the grave, and he's going to change it into an incorruptible body, and you're going to have a body like his. Look at First John chapter 3. First John 3. And this is not on your notes either, so you might want to write this one in there. First John 3. Verse number 1. 1 John 3, 1 says, Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Just think about that. You know, we need to sit. There's some times we need to just sit and ponder the things that Scripture says about our relationship with God. We're the sons of God. He said, Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And we're not waiting to be a son of God. We're a son of God now. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. In other words, that body that Christ had, that showed himself alive for 40 days after his passion, showed himself, come walking through the doors, through the walls, you know, didn't have to open a door. There, he vanished. You know, we're going to have that one day. We're going to be that one day. We're going to be just like Christ. I mean, Christ is our brother, right? We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, we're heirs. Look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him. And when you dwell upon this, and boy, and that stirs that hope in you that, hey, you know, this is going to happen. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. I wish it was today. Every man that hath this hope in him, he says, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, when he says, even as he is pure, we've been pure, made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, he sees the righteousness of Christ. But we don't always live it, do we? And so that's why he said, every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself. In other words, he wants to live better. Wants to live a purer life than what he lives. But we still live in this old sinful flesh. And we're going to be hitting that this morning in Galatians. You know, after we get saved, how can you live for God if you don't have a law to live by? Well, we do have a law, the law of love. Okay? And they're going to talk about that. But, I mean, we've been made pure, and the only way to live and the purity that we've been made in is to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? You know, that's for the second hour. Amen. So I'm getting ahead of myself. But we see here that we shall be like Him. So we've seen today the manner of Christ's resurrection. It was a miraculous resurrection. It was a bodily resurrection, and it was a glorified resurrection. Now, I don't have time enough to get into it this morning. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at, we'll still be looking at Christ's resurrection, and we're going to go, and it'll take us a couple of weeks to look at this, the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for us? It's more than we just have life. Okay? There's some things that we can learn from the Scripture that we'll pick up there. What we're going to do, 5 minutes is not enough for me to lay a foundation for it. And we just got through a little bit early, but we're going to give you 5 minutes to just walk around. Amen. I know Brother Charles will appreciate that. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray. We'll be dismissed and we can come back next week and look at this, the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And like I said, it'll take a couple of weeks to take a look at that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the time we've had this morning. And Lord, we know that you arose from the dead. And we know that you arose not only victoriously, but gloriously. And Lord, our resurrection is based upon your resurrection. You are the first fruits. And we're that comes after. And we pray that so come, Lord Jesus. We're looking forward to that day when these bodies shall be changed, when we no longer have to worry about this old wicked flesh, this old corrupt flesh that we have to deal with day by day. Lord, help us as we view what we're going to be, to purify ourselves, even as we are made pure within by your resurrected life. Help us to live according to Christ's resurrection in our lives. Just help us now as we go move into the morning service here shortly. And Lord, teach our hearts from your word once again. And Lord, may you stir within us that you want to stir, that you want us to grab a hold of today and walk away from here with. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.